The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is brought to you by InsureMyTrip.com. Travel insurance done right from the people who know travel insurance. Find out more at InsureMyTrip.com.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Broadcasting from the InsureMyTrip.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? I'm Doug Parker. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on Cruise Radio. Big show today. We just returned from Carnival Ecstasy, where we did a Carnival Live broadcast last week. Cruise expert Sherry Laskin of CruiseMaven.com is going to give her review of Carnival Ecstasy. But first, Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
Good, man. So the newest cruise ship in the world is out. What's the latest?
Well, Regal Princess has been, let's say she's been stretching her sea legs, Doug.
All right.
She left Monfalcone, Italy on the 15th of May. She spent a couple days in Trieste, Italy, went to Cator, Montenegro, and she's spent the last couple days at sea on her way into Venice. So she'll get there today, and then her first cruise is on May the 20th.
Very good. And her first cruise, is it a revenue cruise? And where is it to?
It is a revenue cruise. That is our very first revenue cruise that Regal Princess will be doing. And, you know, a lot of people are really looking forward to the ship that they've made some nice improvements over Royal.
Awesome. Well, looking forward to that. In other new cruise ship news, looks like the keel was laid for the third Oasis-class ship. What's the latest with this ship?
Well, they did lower the, you know, the first 1,000-ton block, which, from my understanding, Doug, it was the largest keel essentially ever laid for a passenger ship.
Nice.
Which is for good reason, because she is going to be the largest cruise ship ever built. She'll be slightly larger than her sister's Oasis and Allure. She'll be 727,700 tons.
Nice.
She's going to be a big girl.
Is there any truth to the rumor that they've ordered a fourth Oasis-class ship?
Doug, there was so much excitement around the third when they were laying the keel, which, you know, they started construction a while ago. The keel is like, you know, a main section of the ship that they start to, you know, build out from. And they did order a fourth Oasis-class ship. Oasis 3 will be out in 2016. And Oasis 4 will be out in 2018.
Are these ships still costing $1.1 billion?
No, Doug. These ships are actually costing about $1.4 billion. So these are some very, very expensive ships. And but, you know, evidently the demand's there. And like I said, I actually believe that one of these ships will head to China.
Back to the U.S. soil here. Three U.S. senators asking for the Coast Guard to publish cruise ship safety, reports or records? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Doug, I think, unfortunately, I guess you could look at it as kind of grandstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we have access to health and safety reports on hotels,
right,
and in restaurants? You know, there's not a problem.
Right.
And okay, you said that's great that the Coast Guard does their routine inspections. We know what the CDC makes their inspections, but, you know, some information, there's too much information out there. And then you have, you know, these wonderful rating services,
mm-hmm,
that like to go out there and, you know, based on a CDC report, I mean, you're actually factoring that into your review as far as whether people should be sailing on that ship or not.
Hmm.
Which is preposterous. Sometimes, look, I mean, you can have, you know, the best ship in the world could wind up having a bad day and got a failing grade, made amends, made changes, and then you're wanting to factor that into whether or not people should sail on a particular ship. That's ridiculous.
Queen Elizabeth heading to dry dock. Any big changes, or is this just routine?
Well, this will be her first dry dock that she's ever been since, mm-hmm, you know, debuting in 2010.
Okay.
There are some safety upgrades that they're making. They're going to be doing some remodeling to the casino. They're going to be adding some Ocean View single staterooms. You know, they're going to have, you know, one inside. Some upgrades to the restaurants. You know, some awning. I mean, just some kind of routine stuff that they're doing to upgrade the ship. It's a really terrific ship.
That's one sleek liner there, that Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah,
you said
ship.
Yeah, you said she's going to be retrofitted with some solo staterooms. Now, when the ships do this, is there still a double occupancy, or do they kind of waive that?
No. On the single cabins, it will be priced for just one person.
But at the end of the day, is it really double occupancy, or is it cheaper?
It could be like with on NCL, for example, that sometimes you may wind up being able to get a double cabin for less money than a single cabin. So it's always a good idea to check both ways to make sure that you're getting the best price.
And some news right here in our own backyard. Looks like Carnival just re-signed with the Port of Jacksonville for another year, and I think it's an option for an additional year. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Doug, it's interesting in that it's still, you know, they're still going on the year to year. You know, for many years, the cloud of uncertainty has been hanging over Jacksonville, you know, as far as a home port with no knowledge of where, you know, if you remember years ago, they told Carnival, well, we're kicking you out of your terminal because we sold the land to some shipping company, and then since then they've had no place to put them. They were looking at Mayport. They thought it was going to be there. There was, you know, a bit of an uprising with the natives there, and I mean, nothing's really been settled, so I guess it's just kind of like on a year-to-year basis. So I guess they'll just continue on the year-to-year contract until Jacksonville figures out what it wants to do, or Carnival just gets tired of the uncertainty and figures they may want to move somewhere else. But it's a great location for them. It's great for Jacksonville. And I hope they can finally figure out the permanent status.
Yep. So as we say in the industry, stay tuned. So, Stuart, you were quoted in the Miami Herald over the weekend when you were saying why you should use a travel agent when booking. But for listeners wanting to know, what's your support for that?
It's great. It's so important to have a friend in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You need someone that is knowledgeable and can represent your interests and advocate for you with the cruise line, if there's a problem. When you book direct, you've got no one to advocate for you if there's a problem.
Right.
And it's so important to ask questions like, you know, to ask your agent. I mean, how many cruises have you been on?
Mm-hmm.
If they've never cruised, you know, then, you know, they're really just kind of an order taker. I mean, this is a little more than just, you know, flying from airport to airport. I mean, this is 3, 4, or 7 days of your life, and you want to make sure that you get the right ship, the right cabin, and the right price that fits your needs.
Right.
And, you know, having a really good, experienced agent advocating on your behalf is definitely the best move because, you know, like I said, this is not an airline, you know, just a flight. This is a lot of your time, and it really is an investment. I mean, you've worked hard for this vacation. You want to do everything you can to make sure it goes off perfectly.
No, I mean, break that down some more, though. When you say advocating on your behalf, are you talking about, like, with price drops, or what do you mean?
Well, it could be price drops. It could be problems. It could be upgrades. You may have, you know, certain upgrades, or you may have certain deals, or, you know, there could be a problem with the booking, Doug, that goes wrong. Let's say you didn't make your final payment, that the cruise line canceled your reservation. You know, if you did book with a cruise line, hey, terribly sorry. Unfortunately, there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
When an agent can get in there and make some phone calls and do it, you know, and more than likely get it reinstated.
Very good. We've been talking with Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, found at cruiseguy.com. Thank you, man.
My pleasure, Doug.
How many times have you said, that'll never happen to us? Vacations are a big investment with both time and money, and they should be protected. For over a decade, InsureMyTrip.com has been the online travel insurance leader, offering the best plans from the most trusted providers. Our licensed and award-winning customer service team makes sure you have the right coverage for your travel. To find out why over 98% of travelers would recommend InsureMyTrip, visit InsureMyTrip.com.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5, 6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us.
Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, part of the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
We always love to hear your cruise reviews. If you have one, just shoot us an email, comments@cruiseradio.net, like Sherry Laskin did from cruisemaven.com. She is going to talk to us all about the mighty Carnival Ecstasy. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, Doug. How's it going tonight?
Good. I'm saying mighty Carnival Ecstasy because wasn't the ship launched like in 1991?
It was, and it's been around the block a few times, but it's looking really great now.
Yeah, and it's still running pretty strong out of Miami, 3- and 4-night cruises, right?
3 and 4 nights, yes.
Yeah, very good. So what made you want to go on Carnival Ecstasy?
Well, you've heard about the new Carnival Live, haven't you?
Oh, we love it, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the main draw. I wanted to see how it all came together, and I'm just learning the ins and outs of country music, and I didn't really know much about Martina McBride. But I thought, you know, she's done a lot of women-oriented songs, I guess you can call them, empowering.
Yeah.
So I thought this would be a great opportunity to check out the Ecstasy, check out Carnival Live, and get to hear Martina McBride.
What did you think? We'll get to the Ecstasy review in a minute. What did you think of Carnival Live and the VIP experience?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. You know, it's such an opportunity to get up close and personal almost with the entertainers, in this case, obviously Martina McBride. But, yeah, I mean, for the amount of money that it costs, what's it, $100 for most of the shows, maybe $120 for the VIP?
Yeah, an actual ticket is between $20 and $40, and then the VIP experience, depending on the artist, is between $100 and $150. Yeah.
Oh, up to 150. Okay,
yeah.
Right. And, you know, it depends on, like you said, who's the artist. But for, in this case, it was $100 for the VIP ticket. And I think from the comments that I heard from people, it was worth every penny. I mean, they got champagne. They got to meet her before the show.
Photo,
they got a complimentary
lanyard.
Photo. Yeah,
yeah.
The badge that says VIP. I mean, it's all really neat stuff that they get. And I think Carnival's on to something.
Yeah, totally. If you want to hear about Carnival Live, listen to our episode from last week where we taped aboard Carnival Ecstasy. So, Sherry, back to Carnival Ecstasy. What were your thoughts of embarkation and how did it flow for you?
It's amazing because they're building that tunnel down the port in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the approach is a little bit ripped up, but it's getting so much better. Actually, from the time I parked my car in a surface lot, not up in a structure, till I was in my cabin was less than 25 minutes.
Wow.
It just went 1, 2, 3, and I was on the ship. It was great.
When do you like to board a cruise ship, early or late?
You know, I've always been, well, you probably know, I'm always the late person, mainly because, you know, I don't get on there for the brunch, and I really, you know, it's beginning another trip, and there'll be plenty of time to have Lido brunches, so I just usually try to cruise in, you know, 3 o'clock. Whenever they say is the cutoff time, I'm usually there a couple minutes before.
And you mentioned you don't like to get on to catch the brunch and stuff, and that's because you're drinking mimosas on the ride down, right?
No, not if I'm driving. But I did have a new drink. I did have a new cocktail on Carnival that I learned how to duplicate at home.
Which one was that?
It was called the Cruiser.
Okay. Yeah, I think Amadeus had that.
Did he have that? One of the other women in our group had that. I said, what is that? And the waiter said, it's called a Cruiser. I said, okay, I'll try that. And so tonight I went out and bought organic cranberry juice, pineapple juice, and orange juice, and non-organic vodka and rum. And it's really a tasty little drink. So thank you, Carnival.
Which you started drinking at 6 o'clock, and it's now 9:45. So we know where this interview's going. So what were your first impressions when you boarded the main area, the main atrium of Carnival Ecstasy?
It looks a lot toned down from what I had remembered. I was on the ship when she came into Port Canaveral after a $20 million refurbishment, and that was in, when did I go in there? I think it was March of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little more neon-y. I'm sure it's exactly the same, but it didn't strike me the same this time as it did back then. People, it wasn't jam-packed and crowded. And what time did I board? I got there about 2 o'clock, I think. It was just a nice experience.
Very nice. So you make your way through the atrium, and you go up to your stateroom. So first off, what kind of stateroom did you have, and what were your impressions of your stateroom?
Okay, well, I was in one of the, they've recently, when they did this refurbishment, they added balconies, and I was in the all the way aft with a balcony, and I was really surprised. The balcony was wider than I had thought it would be. Not only were there two upright chairs and a teeny tiny table, there was a third chair that you could, lean the back down on.
Mm-hmm.
So you could actually relax and use the other chair to prop your feet up if you wanted. The room had been refurbished really nicely. It's more of a peach tone. The clunky old televisions are gone. It's all flat panel, and the bathrooms have been overhauled, brand-new shower curtains. Of course, like all the other mass-market cruise lines, they now have those pump shampoo and soaps on the wall in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
So, I always tell people, if you don't like using whatever that might be in those containers, bring your own. Carnival does furnish soap. They're little bars, and they're actually pretty nice, but I've been on some cruises where they don't even furnish bar soap anymore.
Well, let's talk about the food options on Carnival, Ecstasy. It's funny, I keep saying Ecstasy, and we were walking around Key West, and people were like, what ship are you on? I'm like, I'm on Ecstasy.
Yeah.
They're like, no. What cruise ship are you on? I'm like, oh, sorry, Carnival Ecstasy.
I know, you have to preface it with Carnival.
Absolutely. So the food options, there's really not much on there because it is an older ship from 91. So you have the Lido deck area, you have the hamburger joint and the main dining room, pretty much, little deli in the back and all that. But what were your thoughts of the food, and did anything really stick out to you?
One thing I was really happy to see, they brought, there wasn't a lot of the 2.0 dining concepts on the basically because there's no room. But they did convert the old sushi bar to a taste bar. My couple visits there, even though they don't have the restaurants on that ship, for example, the Blue Iguana,
mm-hmm.
One night they were serving little appetizers, and these are all complimentary, as you know. And they had little appetizers from the Blue Iguana, so should someone go on one of the ships with the Blue Iguana bar, then they know what they're doing. So it's a little temptation.
Yeah.
So I liked having the taste bar concept on there. I was really happy to see, I probably told you, the pizza bar is still in the back of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have the made-to-order Caesar salads.
That really made your cruise.
It did, didn't it?
How about the food?
And I asked them, they also make one of the pizzas, and we didn't try it. It's a prosciutto and arugula.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got my Caesar salad, I said, could you put some of that arugula on top of it, too? So I had a really nice salad.
They're like, okay, lady, if you will promise us you'll go away.
I know. It's like, can I have this? Can I have that?
What did you think about the food in the main dining room?
I thought it was really good. I think the trend now, and I'm sure you've said it or you'll agree with me, is, the dining room isn't the ooh-la-la experience that it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Although, speaking of ooh-la-la, the escargot were quite good.
Yes.
But I think, the cruise lines really want people out and about and going to the specialty restaurants or the other complimentary restaurants besides the main dining room. And I think a lot of the finer dishes maybe are going to the steakhouses and
mm-hmm.
things like that. Although, I think you had a steak. Didn't you order a steak or something and it was excellent?
Yeah, I had a steak one night. I had a meatloaf one night, fried chicken one night, and the other night we didn't eat in there. We had the Lido because it was Martina McBride night.
Oh, that was our pizza splurge after the show night.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So, yeah,
yes.
The food on Ecstasy was really good. Let's talk about the entertainment on board. Now,
Wait. I have one more thing to add,
okay.
If I could. The Indian food in the dining room was
mm-hmm.
superb.
I live vicariously through you. So let's go to the entertainment now, unless you want to talk about food some more.
I can always talk about food,
okay,
but let's
good.
Go to the entertainment.
Okay, so minus Carnival Live, because that's only on select sailings, I think 49 sailings in 2014.
Yeah.
What did you think of the entertainment on board the ship?
Well, along with that Carnival Live thing, it's really nice to see that they're going back to a lot more intensive live music throughout the ship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just these little rinky-dink combos and things, but they've got some great music. You can wander around. There's someone in the atrium. There was someone in the promenade. There was someone up at the pool. It's all live, and they're really investing a lot in the live music on their ships, and it was really nice to see that on the Ecstasy.
Yeah, that was they had a couple of acoustic guitar players on there that they gave me goosebumps just sitting there listening to them. It was just really, really good.
And that was in the atrium.
Main atrium, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And it just sort of, the sound just echoed throughout the stories. It was really nice.
Let's talk about the outdoor areas, because this is always so subjective on sea days. What was your thoughts of the outdoor area as far as the passenger to deck chair ratio in the space aboard Carnival Ecstasy?
I think there was room. The pools were crowded, I have to say that. But then the pools usually are crowded on sea days, you know, and there weren't a lot of children. And we went midweek, if I recall. It's a blur.
Right.
But the water slide, you know, it's a mini version, the waterworks of the Big Breeze one and the one on the Sunshine. But there was no waiting. The little kids were just scrambling up and sliding down, and I think they had a great time because they didn't have to, you know, wait for their turn. They could just keep going and going. So that was a nice thing. And the Serenity area for adults only, it seemed whenever I peeked over the railing to see what was going on there, there were empty chairs. There's so much going on inside and outside that, you know, if you want a chair on the main Lido deck by the pool, you can get it. If you want a chair anywhere, and there's some little hidden areas. If you just start exploring and walk the outside, there's a lot of little hidden areas. You can go up to the all the way forward, and there's some chairs there. You can just stand and look out on over the railing.
I like how you glossed over that, peeked over the side to look at this Serenity area. What were you really looking at it down there?
as the words were coming out of my mouth, I knew you would find something.
Well,
you're such a weirdo.
Yeah, the outdoor areas, I felt like they had plenty of space for the time I was out there during the cruise. And the ports we hit Cozumel and Key West on this sailing. So which one really stuck out with you?
Gosh, we had such great weather. I mean, it was exceptionally beautiful. Key West was fun. I didn't do all the, you know, any of the planned activities except to hang around with a couple guys if walking around Duval Street.
A
anybody
couple of lushes.
Yeah. Someone had to keep you guys in a straight line. I mean, and then, where was it? In Cozumel, for the first time I went to Isla Pasión, or Passion Island.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is not an island, actually. I did map it out when I got home. Did you know that?
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's actually a little peninsula on the north coast of Cozumel. So, in effect, if you had a vehicle, you probably could drive there. I know you could drive there. But we had the ferry boat that took 40 minutes to go around the outside. But it was a beautiful ride and a lot of fun. And I would truly recommend someone taking the Passion Island Shore Excursion. I think it's a great beach day. Great food. Food was good. The drinks were free. The bathrooms were exceptionally clean. So, you know, what more do you want?
I like the fact that we're in Key West walking down Duval Street, and we go to this place called Willie T's, 2 for $10 margaritas. And so we ordered two of them, my friend and I. And we're like, do you want one? You're like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I am not drinking a margarita. We're like, okay, hell with you then. Just
but
two
then
of them.
Someone did get a Bloody Mary, didn't they?
Yes, you finally did around 10:30. You had to ease into it, I guess, right?
That's right. Bloody Marys are kind of like breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. You got all your nutrients there and the vodka that you're sipping on right now. So as far as been there, done that tips or some first-time tips for Carnival Ecstasy, what do you have?
Be prepared. You know, one thing I did notice, and I don't tell people to bring these because, wait, let's cut that out, Doug. I was going to say there's only one plug in the stateroom and bring a power strip, but I don't want to put that in there.
That's no, it's true. I mean, I wish I had a power strip.
Yeah, I mean, I had to take turns with plugging things in, but you know, as long as you unplug it before you leave your room, but are we recording right now?
You know what? I'm just going to tell you this. When you tell me to take things out, you know I really don't, right? So just keep talking.
That's what I was afraid of. Go upstairs and try the little putt-putt golf. It's not really too crowded, especially if you like to do that kind of thing with people. I'm not a putt-putt golf person, but everybody up there seemed to be having fun. What, do you play putt-putt golf?
No, but is that your best tip you have is play putt-putt golf on
No.
the top of the ship? Like, do you have anything else?
Isn't it terrible? Oh, my God.
It is.
God.
Well, okay. You've been on so many cruises, that's why.
I know. I never do that. What was one of my favorite things to do on the Ecstasy?
Okay, well, you're thinking about it. I'm going to say this. You can bring on stuff in port. So I'm not saying alcohol, but if you want to go to the CVS or a Walgreens, if you hit Key West or the local shop in Cozumel, what's their Walmart called there? in Cozumel, Sherry?
Oh, if you go, we weren't right in front of it, but it's called Mega.
Yeah, if you go to Mega, you could bring on, like, bottled waters or Cokes or whatever you want for the rest of your voyage, so you're not spending, like, $3.95 a soda. So that's my tip. You can bring stuff on, long as it's not booze. Did you think of anything yet, Sherry, or should I keep talking?
Oh, gosh, golly. I had them all thought out in my head, and I just drew a blank. What else is really... Well, you didn't say talk about the ports, what you can do in the ports for fun, out-of-the-way things, though,
I'm
right?
I'm not going to stall you anymore. We've been talking with Sherry Laskin from cruisemaven.com. If you want to find out some tips for Carnival Ecstasy, just head to our website or head to the show notes at cruiseradio.net. Sherry, it's always fun having you on the show. Thank you so much.
I'll think of a few and get them back to you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Doug. Bye.
And thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. If you want to catch us online, go to cruiseradio.net or check out facebook.com/cruiseradio. As always, all the links to our interviews and news stories can be found in the show notes at cruiseradio.net. From the insuremytrip.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Doug Parker, and this is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the insuremytrip.com studios. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.